So we are in the everything is strange in 2020, but we have reached that point where in our local area, we are currently doing clinics both for drive-through COVID-19 testing, and at the same time, during the same week, the health department also had, in a different spot, a drive-through flu shot clinic.
Oh, wow.
So we've certainly reached a crazy time, but, and I have to admit, I was one of these people, and there are a lot of folks who would say, I'm not going to get the flu shot. And maybe this year more than ever, that's just a dangerous move to make, it would seem to me.
Yes. We definitely agree. And here's why. Normal circumstances, we know that hundreds of thousands of Americans get admitted to hospital because of the flu, and tens of thousands, unfortunately, pass away from complications of the flu. We also know these Americans are the oftentimes same individuals who are at high risk for contracting COVID. That means people with pre-existing conditions like diabetes, asthma, as well as hypertension and obesity and other diseases. We also know a lot of those are folks over 65. Unfortunately, when the hospitals will be overwhelmed with COVID, it will be very difficult to see and admit people suffering from the flu if we end up having two public health disasters at the same time. It is therefore important that we do what we can now to protect ourselves with all of the evidence-based and measures that exist, and doctors are certainly telling you and telling us that. So when I see my patients in a clinic, it's one of the worst things because it's preventable. And in this season and this year, during this pandemic, it will be very difficult to save a lot of Americans, and it will be unfortunate if that happens just because we have overwhelmed our medical and healthcare system. So therefore, you know, we will wait for the COVID-19 vaccine. Yet, here's something we can do today to protect ourselves, empower ourselves, our communities, and our family, and that's by getting the flu shot. It's safe. It's effective. It's been around for years, although it does change each year based on what the prevalent strain is. And we have an opportunity right now to be proactive and to be able to, you know, do something about this particular scourge that's impacting us, and another challenge that's coming very quickly towards us.
Yeah, I guess to me, the main point here is, you know, being careful with the hospital situation. And every day we get updates from the state and from the Virginia Healthcare and Hospital Association with where they are as far as available beds statewide, what the ICU capacity is at the moment. And this is all before we have any influx of flu folks. And, you know, to think about if that group were to jump in right now, yesterday, I believe our ICU beds in Virginia were at 80%. So I'm just not sure the hospital and our healthcare infrastructure is ready to handle such a thing.
Yeah, let me give you an example from last year. Last year, our estimates are that we had up to 740,000 hospitalizations from the flu only. So in last flu season, we had, again, 750,000 Americans hospitalized. If that was to happen again, I'm not sure we'd have the beds. We'd have the ICU beds. And, you know, all of that happens. When that happens, we get overwhelming, and we have an unfortunate overwhelming of the healthcare system. The healthcare system was not built to manage two public health disasters at the same time. And, you know, this is entirely preventable. That's the other message. We can do something right now within our powers to take the vaccine and protect ourselves so we do not end up in a hospital situation. That's why it's important to make sure that we're doing what we can. I mean, all, you know, we are a collection of our individual voices and our individual actions. And I think we have to demonstrate as a community, community by community, you know, we can fight this. We can win and prevail over this particular pandemic, but it starts with us doing what we can and what we need to. And again, we need to be science-based, evidence-guided, and the evidence tells us that the flu shot works each and every time.
The headline on this information was that fewer than two-thirds of U.S. adults say they plan to get the shot. And I have to admit to you, and I was telling my friend Maury before this, that I was one of those people who didn't used to get a shot because I had never gotten the flu and very scientifically had determined that I would jinx myself if I wound up getting the shot. Now that I have children and I'm an actual adult, I'm taking these types of precautions. Why do people say they're not going to get the shot?
There's a lot of reasons for people to not want to get the shot. First is obviously the inconvenience. For some, it's the cost. None of those, because the cost is usually covered by your insurance, or your local health department will take care of the cost if you don't have insurance. The inconvenience part, one thinks, why should I if I'm not going to get the risk? Well, everyone is at risk, especially this time around. The next one is people think that maybe the flu shot could give you the flu, and that's absolutely not correct because most of the flu shots are killed virus in there. The nasal vaccine is the one that has a very attenuated virus, but it has not been demonstrated to create flu for average individuals. So that's also a myth. From a side effect standpoint, yes, we can have a little soreness for some people, and there could be milder side effects. But, when you compare that with the flu or with hospitalization from other illnesses or complications or passing it on to your grandparents and your parents who may actually end up in a hospital, it's not worth it to take that risk. So at the end of the day, we all have our own reasons why we don't want to get the flu shot. But I think the compelling reason of having a pandemic and being in the midst of a pandemic, a resurgence of the pandemic that we expect to happen and is happening in many states across the country. On top of this, having a vaccine, an intervention that we know is safe and effective, just makes the much more common sense case that we should just go ahead and get it this season.
So both of my daughters were born prematurely, so I'm familiar with the March of Dimes. Why, as you, as the medical director for the March of Dimes, why does the March of Dimes care about this?
Absolutely. That's a great question, Carl. And the March of Dimes cares about it. First of all, in our history, we were the ones that stepped up and helped have a campaign to research the vaccine for polio when there was an epidemic of polio happening and helped to ultimately eliminate that out of our country. So that's the first piece. Our history goes back to we care about American people. We care about protecting our people against these types of diseases. March of Dimes also cares about especially most vulnerable populations. That includes pregnant women, infants. And we know children and infants before the age of 6 months cannot get the vaccine, not recommended. But everybody other than that should get the vaccine. And part of that is to protect those that are most vulnerable amongst us. Know that a lot of people who may be going through cancer therapy and other aspects may not even be able to mount an immunity to the vaccine. Some may not be able to get the vaccine. It's our responsibility as a community to protect those. Pregnant women, same issue. Pregnant women can safely get most forms of the flu vaccine, yet we also see the rates not as high as we would like them to be. That's very important as a vulnerable population to protect those folks who are pregnant, both from COVID as well as from flu. So that's why we care. We care about protecting the American population from any and all of these conditions, especially during a pandemic and during the flu season.
I was going to say, pregnant women must be in this strange catch-22 where they are more aware than ever about their health. At the same time, they're probably more skeptical and concerned about things like vaccines than ever before.
Well, we know that pregnant women, the vaccine for flu is safe and effective. We yet do not know the similar situation for the COVID vaccine that's being developed. We have been robustly advocating to include pregnant and lactating women in any and all vaccine trials to make sure that we don't think of pregnant women as an afterthought. We have about 6 million pregnancies and about 4 million deliveries a year in this nation. That's very important not to exclude that population. So it's a very important piece. I mean, oftentimes civilization is known by the way we treat our most vulnerable. And certainly when it comes to pregnancy and infants, that's the case.
Well, Dr. Gupta, I appreciate the time. Anything you'd add? Some ground we forgot to cover?
I would just say that, you know, if you want to have more information, more credible information, please visit our website, marchofdimes.org, and the CDC's website, which is cdc.gov/flu. It's very important you, you know, are informed and then take the action to protect yourself, your friends, your family, and your community.
Again, thank you so much for your time. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Carl. Take care.